So, can we just alight for a moment on the fact that you just defined a surprise party as a home invasion that suddenly became consensual?
Yeah, well, I mean, like, that's how most surprise parties go in your head.
I mean, you're not wrong.
Like fuck you invasion. Guys for scaring me. This is fucking ridiculous. I'm going to call the cops. Oh, there's cake.
I think I just found the opening clip for this episode, like, right there.
You can't say that in the podcast.
I just did.
So, put on Eggos.
Yeah. I'm not going to let you explain what it was, because I think the first words were I put it on Eggos. But, anyway, what were we going to start with? Oh, yeah. So, this is the one where Kyle eats a bagel.
I did this earlier, too. I think that's onion powder.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And
yeah,
that's onion savory, bagel. It's sweet cream cheese on a savory bagel.
And that's probably better than it sounds, actually. Hang on, let me finish working here real quick. Yep. Good. Good. And if you get too hot back there, Amy, you can turn on the rear air, you know. That's a joke.
Because you don't get hot.
That's a joke, son. You can laugh at that. Right, what's up, everybody?
Hi, I'm Kyle.
Kyle is eating a bagel, ladies and gentlemen. Kendrick is driving the car. Might have had some wine. Might not have. You don't know.
Don't fucking say that on the podcast.
I don't know.
You're
going to get arrested. You can't.
Like, what? Everything was fine until we listened to the most recent episode. Where he admitted being high on drugs.
Just by the fact where we've talked about being drunk before, like, all the time, even when we're not. And I'm not going to say more, but I had, like, a glass of wine because someone left wine.
I had, like, a gun.
I had, like, 9 bottles of wine, so. So, anyway.
I always forget how much I like bagels until I...
Bagels are good, and that's why I avoid eating them usually, because there's a lot of food in them hiding in there. Delicious.
We're gonna do a list thing.
We're gonna do what?
Yep.
We're the list thing?
We're gonna do one.
Are you gonna bust that list out when you're done eating a bagel?
Yep.
Okay, that guy.
This is like a dangerous game of chicken. Like, I wasn't sure if they were
I wasn't sure what was gonna happen because the thing. Okay, so that bicyclist just jaywalked. Or ran a red light, depending on which he wants to be today, if he's a vehicle or a pedestrian. I am recording it. Yeah, recording. Okay, good.
Why would he run a red light?
Well, he didn't have a light. That's why the pedestrian didn't cross, is they didn't actually have a hand. They didn't a walking dude. They had a hand, which is why I was confused by how they weren't going. So he either jaywalked because he walked against the light, but since he's on a bike, his other option is he just ran a red light. So he did one of those two things, depending on whether he chooses to be a bike or a
pedestrian. Is it called jaywalking because you're usually a jerk?
I actually don't know why it's called jaywalking. In fact, hang on. I have absolutely no idea why it's called jaywalking. Usually I know a little more.
That's like a ringtone.
Jaywalking?
No, you saying you don't know how something is happening.
Yeah, I legitimately don't know. Boys and girls, I don't even have bullshit for you. I don't know. Straight up don't. Everybody's working for the weekend.
One of the podcasts I was listening to since I went back and listened to them all.
Oh, yeah.
Was one where you saying, we really got to cut out that dead noise.
That's why I've been trying to talk right now as you've been stuffing your face with a bagel. And I'm sitting here trying to fill...
A later one, we have a whole podcast about, is there fucking air conditioning in this car or what?
Yeah, yeah, but it's probably, yeah, no, you turned it really low, but it isn't gonna go. Well, why is it not going?
I think it's
why? It's because outside it's like 50 degrees.
Because y'all are monsters.
We're not monsters, we're just fat, hot people.
We are fat and warm. Yeah, it's like 40 degrees
outside.
We've
never recorded a podcast with the windows down.
No, we did. We did.
Okay. Everybody, that's the window.
It sounds bad. No, we're just gonna have to. I'll just bring mine down.
It kind of
meet somewhere in the middle.
Oh yeah. Wait.
Well, if we go to 65 together, it's probably
If we go to 65 together and we're not married, let's get married.
Okay. I imagine by then anything goes.
Oh
right?
Wait.
I mean, shit.
Listicle.
Yeah. Can we do that?
Okay. So it's not called Listicles. There's already a site called Listicle, and we.
Okay.
Even though most of our sites or lists will probably come from there.
Oh, are you talking about the 5-second pause we just did?
Yeah. What?
When you're talking about dead air and you're talking about pauses.
Yeah, the dead air is like when you like let something settle. And
yeah,
don't talk
and I was
for five
so
seconds.
Mad. I was just tagged that one the other day, relatively speaking. And it pissed me the fuck off again. As I was listening to him, like, yeah, that still makes me mad. That's really stupid advice.
It's not that bad.
No, it really is. Like, it really, really makes me mad that that's what we're telling people to do.
It makes him livid.
It's like that. I think that we should go ask people how they feel about that and see what people have to say, because I'm very confident that is the worst idea.
Let's just ask everybody that's going to be in that friend group party we're having later.
The one we already had?
No. Yeah, that one or something.
Time is hard.
God, time is hard. We're really, I'm sorry, not we. I am really bad at dating our casts.
Yeah.
That's what cool people call podcasts.
Yep.
Is casts. Or the PCs.
Mm.
Or the pods, sis.
Mm.
Or the poops.
So, that's the what thing I worked on all week isn't going to work. I found out from my watch. Thanks, boss.
Well, maybe you shouldn't suck so much.
I tried, but it hurt from the pressure differential.
All right, that burp signifies the beginning of the top 10
Kyle Bagel lists. Eating scenarios.
I think we're just going to call it top 10 list time until
Top 10 list time will be the tag.
Sure, but we're going to call it that segment this until we come up with a better
name. The segment. Dude, and then the episode is still called Kyle's.
Side note. When we're if you ever go back and listen to the first three episodes of this podcast and you listen to us trying to come up with a name, it's a fucking epic journey.
It is a pretty good journey.
It's like listening to like the Bible being written.
You probably will have already heard that because it was almost certainly in our best of 100th episode.
Right? I like that you laughed at that, Amy, because I'm serious and you're laughing at
it. It was less, I would call it less biblical and more Tolkien-esque.
More pee oriented.
Yeah, it was pretty fantastic.
Okay, so the top 10 list we're doing today is the top 10 most surprising facts about the haunted house industry.
Whoa.
So yeah.
Whoa.
Ready? Everybody ready?
Hold on to my underwear.
Since this is not being recorded in October.
I mean.
Wink.
Yeah, this is way old for you guys. This is like Christmas.
We're gonna shit. But let's put it fucking sooner.
I don't know, dude. It's gonna be really hard to keep this shit straight.
We're just going to do this because it's fun, and it was one of the top tens I wanted to do that wasn't fucking stupid. Haunted houses are more widespread than Target. Target stores.
What?
I mean,
2,700 haunted house attractions operate across the United States, and Target boasts a mere 1,800 locations.
I guess that makes sense, because you assume ones that are, I mean, they're only open in October, right? So... They're like...
So the quote everywhere. From one of the ladies is, there's something about being scared in a safe environment that people are addicted to. Like bungee jumping or getting your home invaded, but then it turning out to be a joke, a.k.a. a surprise party.
So, can we just alight for a moment on the fact that you just defined a surprise party as a home invasion that suddenly became consensual?
Yeah, well, I mean, like, that's how most surprise parties go in your head.
I mean, you're not wrong.
Like fuck home you invasion. Guys for scaring me. This is fucking ridiculous. I'm going to call the cops. Oh, there's cake.
I think I just found the opening clip for this episode, like, right there.
You can't say that in the podcast.
I just did. Future Kendrick.
Okay.
Wake up, put the wine down,
the one
and
where
mark
Kyle
one.
Eats a bagel is... thing opening thing is about surprise parties.
What's great is if the best part about it is if that's not what we used as the opening, and then now we look like a real prick.
Okay, so there's lots of haunted houses in the
like
United
the Frightmare
States.
Compound.
I wish, yeah, like fucking that, just that, that's that little truck. That's
I think that's a sign.
No, oh,
but
it makes more sense.
The Frightmare compound's over on Wadsworth and that way. I went there a couple years ago with Sydney.
Just to be clear, I hate haunted houses and will never go. Yeah, and one of the things in the list explains why I'll never go.
Okay, continue on your list.
So that's kind of interesting. There's a lot of haunted houses. I wonder relative to other things, though. Like, Target, to me, is, like, an okay reference, but I'm not really sure. Like, I don't...
There aren't that many Targets.
I don't know if that's the point, you know? Like, they're using it as, a metric, and we're saying, like, oh, I don't even know if there's that many Targets. Anyway, number 9. Haunted houses are a $300 million industry.
That's less than I thought.
Okay.
Well, I mean, what is it? Like, Playboy is worth $1 billion or whatever still, or makes $1 billion?
Oh, but you're going to compare it to, like...
Right, yeah. But I mean, this is all haunted houses. That seems like that's a broad category, right? I mean, that's like what else can you... Okay, hang on a minute. Let's just take a quick time out.
T.O.
And what's a comparable industry to the haunted house industry?
I don't know. That's what I was looking through here.
Halloween stores?
Conducted by National Federation found that approximately 20% of Americans who celebrate Halloween were going to go to a haunted house.
So hold on, let's back that up. 20%, okay, how many people celebrate Halloween?
I don't know, that's what
half?
I'm saying. It doesn't have any good comparisons in here.
Well, I'm saying like, okay, well, let's say a third of Americans celebrate Halloween. Is that fair? As
what
it's
do you
a
consider
swag?
Sure.
Halloween?
Well, I don't know, what do you consider celebrating Halloween?
We're just going to say a third because it's people who participate in the season, which is either going to parties or dressing up or trick-or-treating
anything
or
anything that you could consider.
What is
the fucking dickweed shit going on here, you piece of human garbage? I want you and your family to die.
Jesus Christ.
Anyway, so moving swiftly forward. the so like if it's 100 million people who participate or celebrate or observe Halloween in some fashion, you need to calm the hell down and adjust your steering wheel because you should not drive like this. Kendrick's wrists were very bent in a very what would you call it, carpal tunnel situation.
Sure.
So if that's like 100 million people,
what's a crumpet tunnel?
I'll tell you when you're older. If 100 million people celebrate it and 20% go to haunted houses, then that's, let me do the math on this, 20 million people.
The next point kind of gives you a little bit of...
If it's $300 million industry, that's not that much. That doesn't...
The next point gives you even more perspective on how not much that is, how low that is.
Okay.
So the next point is, they can be crazy expensive to operate. And so... This guy says that Jeff Sherbin, the CEO of Sinister Point Productions, I guess, which is a haunted house firm, it's getting so expensive that unless you have $100,000 to put into it and $30,000 in marketing, you're not going to make it. That's not that much money.
So
for a thing.
Back this up a little bit here. Now, they said it was a $300 million industry.
Yeah, and there's...
Now,
so it says Steve Copeman estimates that big attractions can individually earn $2 to $3 million from just the Halloween season alone, and it does not include haunts that remain open year-round.
So... When they're talking about that, are they talking about profits then, or is that gross revenue?
I don't know, dude.
I always thought when you talked about the size of an industry, you talked about gross
revenue. So I assume that's, like, how much they take in.
I can't decide if I don't know what I'm talking about or they don't know what they're talking about.
There's not a lot of sites. There's a sighting here, but I can't get to it.
Well, I'm just saying, if that's profit, then okay, that's more believable.
Kind of a dime a dozen. Yeah, I guess they are a dime a dozen, which is why they're more frequent than Targets. Is that a comparison?
Well, I mean, there's a bunch of them. How many do we drive past now?
A lot.
5, 6 on our commute?
But the other points I think on this list are more interesting,
to
be honest.
Go on. Well, the whole point of this is to shit on it, so.
Yeah, well, I thought this would be interesting to just talk about. If we're going to shit on it, I better take my pants off.
Dude, it sits up. We shit on everything.
I realize how much I talk about my penis in the first 30 episodes, like, a lot. And,
yeah. It's kind of funny, you've like never listened to an episode of Sid Talk before, and now you're like fire hosing with him.
That's speaking of fire hoses.
You're going to want to keep an eye on him because he's going to have a rough time.
Yeah.
He's going to be in a bad spot.
Yeah. I already want to put a gun in my mouth how many times I say like.
Oh my God, it's painful sometimes.
Shut up! You're not supposed to fucking say that
not
shit.
Not you. I mean, like.
Yeah, I know.
Like the shit that
number
we
seven
all say.
Is that most haunted houses are charitable operations. More than 80% of them are run by charity donations, and 100%. Of their proceeds go to at least one charity organization.
I did not. How much? What was the percentage total?
80% of all U.S. haunted house attractions are run by a charity or donate up to 100% of their proceeds to
one. Okay, so, all right, hang on a minute. Pump the brakes on that fact, because 1% is up to 100%.
Yeah.
So.
More than 80%.
But more than 80% donate up to 100%.
Yeah, yeah. So you can, so more
any
than
number is
donate
up to
at least donate a little bit.
Right.
Uh-huh.
So they could donate $10 and be on that
list. So one of them in Fort Worth, Texas has raised over $1.7 million for local charities.
That's good.
Which is good. It's a bunch of crap about grassroots movements and blah, blah, blah. But basically, haunted houses support your local community most of the time. Which is kind of fair because the people that are getting to go in them are most likely, you know, convicts. That's why so many people die in haunted houses.
It's true.
But in reality, it's people who do seasonal jobs like that, right?
Yeah, it is. They make good money, I know. It's not reliable, but you make good money for a month.
Mm-hmm. Unless you can find a year-round one. The next one I'm kind of excited about because this is one that I, like, really focused on a lot. Number six, extreme haunted houses are on the rise. So... Before we get into that, what do you think an extreme haunted house is?
They touch you.
The one where they drag you away.
Okay, you guys are both, like, you know, dead on. So, the idea is that instead of just blood and jump scares, they're doing, like, fear factor, extreme aggressive stuff. And you, like, a lot of times you have to do a doctor's note, background check, and a signed waiver when you go to these haunted houses.
Nice.
That's...
So it's like puzzle room craze, probably the same kind of motivation.
And there's waiting lists of up to 27,000 people for some haunted houses. This one called McCamey Manor in Tennessee, the world's most extreme haunted house. If you last a minute there, you have my absolute and total respect, says one of the visitors. He after he paid to get in with a literal bag of dog food. I don't know why that means anything. Why is he paying to get in? I thought it was going to eat dog food, but whatever. Okay.
Well, I mean, like, you have to bring dog food. Like, an extra level of weird, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe that's a donation.
So he's... maybe, yeah. It said, last century's haunted house about... last century's haunts lasted about 10 minutes. The full McCamey experience can go on for hours. and this dude lasted 2.5 hours or something, and something really weird medically happened to him where he couldn't stand up, and his equilibrium was off for some reason. This Vance guy, that Brandon Vance, the guy that was talking about dog food, they wrapped his head up except for his nose and mouth with duct tape, and to add to the disorientation, he left the attraction with scrapes and bruises, but he said that they were taking good care of him. They were just, like, doing stuff that was light. But
scrapes and bruises is life, man.
They want something, but the psychologist said that they want something more intense and engaging, and that, like, that's kind of why we're moving towards that. Yeah, because we're dead inside.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah. So, extreme haunted houses.
What does that say about our generation's lack of fulfillment in the reality of our own existences?
I don't know.
I mean, I used
there's actually a psychological one later, too, that's kind
of
fun. Mm-hmm. Do you want to talk anything about that? Extreme haunted houses are a thing, and
I find it interesting that they're on the rise
now.
Is it just because our lives are a lot less exciting
than
they were before?
I don't know. I mean, I think it goes back to what you were joking about, puzzle rooms. Like,
I wasn't joking, I was dead serious. I think the motivation behind puzzle rooms.
Everything you say is a joke because you're a joke and you're
fine. I am an asshole.
But the idea is that, like, people want to experience something. They don't just want to, like,
yeah.
It's why railroading campaign is less fun, and shooters on rails are less fun than just regular shooters.
Yeah.
Kind of the idea of you being guided versus you being experienced.
But the thing that I find interesting is that these are on an increase, which means something's changing,
well, obviously,
right?
Obviously, this listicle might be, like,
well,
saying something.
But, I mean, there weren't haunted houses where people did that stuff to you in the 70s or 80s, right? That wasn't common, but they're becoming more common now.
I guess I don't know what the increase would be from, because you can't say, oh, people are interested in escape rooms, because that's, you're not answering the question.
No, that's what I mean. I didn't mean that it was an answer. I meant that I wonder if it's a similar motivation.
No, that's what I was saying. Mine wasn't an answer, so I'm
if there is something to be said for, like, we want more visceral hands-on experiences because so much of our lives are fake and digital now.
Maybe.
And we don't have any wars to go die in, or
that is actually like a
farms
weirdly
to dig or whatever. You know, like, it's just all fucking computers. So being out where someone might actually touch you to fill that deep-seated emotional and chemical need for human interaction that we're
there is
missing
one
in
later
our
that kind of maybe explains why these like
okay, cool.
really intense ones, because it has to
Next.
Do with the psychology of it and, like, what you do versus,
Next
like, high
song.
Or low. Okay, God, fuck it.
Next song.
Some haunted houses have serious haters, so the McKinley Mansion one is actually in a suburb somewhere, and all the people can hear that live around it that season are, like, screaming people. All you hear is screaming people, and you're totally surrounded by residential homes, so, like, they don't like the idea that it's located in the middle of this fucking suburb. Like,
fair.
Yeah, because, like, I guess that makes sense to me. Like, I would not want to live next to a haunted house.
Nope.
Like across the street from
I wonder what the neighborhood's actually like. Is it like it's over there and they're over here?
Yeah, they don't really say.
Yeah, just no
neighbors
like
are afraid to let their children out for fear of them seeing horrific sights, even though they're all staged. So a lot of it doesn't have to do with the things I'd be afraid of, where, like, some crazy guy who just, like, spent, you know, the whole day freaking people out is like, I want to do something like this on my own time, and goes over to your house and freaks you out.
Fair. I also typically, while I side with, like, property rights and whatnot, I also know that homeowners piss and moan about everything.
Yeah,
every time,
that's
so.
True.
Like, I bought this really cheap house. Oh my God, this airport is so noisy. Yeah, maybe you should have thought about that for, like, a hot minute.
Yeah, like, we didn't know that living so close to a train was going to be bad. It wasn't actually that bad because you get used to it after a while, but it, like, first, you're like, fuck this. This stupid-ass train comes by my fucking house every day at 3 p.m.
Yep.
or 3 a.m., and it's really annoying, and then you realize that you get used to things.
Mm-hmm.
You can have no hands for your entire life when you get used to it.
Yeah. I mean, if you just...
I'm cutting your hands off.
I know.
Okay, I'm going to put swords on them.
That's fair.
So you just have swords for hands.
That's okay. It'll make my typing a little bit more difficult, but...
No. I'll make sure, like, the pommels have, like, really good, like, accurate things.
Oh, really
so you
small.
Cut up your screen, but, like...
Yeah.
Your keyboard skills are going to be on point. Hopefully.
I don't know how my keyboard can have power. Kendrick, get that sound back in there.
This one, I think, is a stupid point because...
Go on.
It's not... It's by far mostly not true.
Okay.
So, haunted houses are bad for your heart.
Hmm.
So, Today correspondent Jeff Rosen ventured into Blood Manor, a haunted house in New York City, wearing a heart monitor. And he explained that they can increase your heart rate and blood pressure and make your respiratory, like, rate go up, which makes sense. Like,
that's called cardiovascular training.
Okay, yeah. And it said he... When the actors jumped out at Dr. Jeff... Or, no, I'm sorry. There was a doctor that went in. His name was... Dr. Steinbaum. Oh, no, wait. Sorry. Jeff Rosen went in, and Dr. Steinbaum was observing that the heart rate went up past 146 beats per minute. What you're supposed to keep your heart rate at for prolonged cardiovascular exercise is between 130 and 150 beats per minute for, like, normal kind of fat loss and things like that, as far as I remember. Which would be enough to make the body react as if we're exercising hard. So, she indicated that while most healthy adults can handle it, level of strain, someone who with an unhealthy heart could, you know...
So, if you have a heart problem...
Don't go on roller coasters, don't go to haunted houses.
Don't do things that stimulate your heart.
Yeah, like, I don't really... I mean, what did we watch some, like, YouTube video the other day that was talking about, can Five Nights at Freddy's kill you?
Yeah, it was the guy who had anxiety, like, really bad anxiety, but he found that when he had heart levels that high, it was actually good for him. It was like working out without having to.
Yeah, so I would postulate that the point isn't actually that they can be bad for your heart, it's that they can be good for your body. Because that level of endorphins and that like increase in heart rate and all that stuff is actually in the controlled scenarios you're in. Good for you.
I would say that's, overall. But then it's also like, it's kind of like, if you have a kidney problem, don't eat bananas. So bananas are bad for you. It's like, no, that's not the conclusion.
Yeah, I agree.
If you have kidney issues, you can't clear the potassium out of your system. And so a buildup of potassium can be bad for you. So if your kidneys are failing at removing potassium, then don't eat bananas. But that doesn't mean bananas are bad. It just means some people shouldn't eat bananas.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel.
It's complicated.
And those people are probably not the majority.
Well, hopefully not.
Well, I mean, if they are, then yes, you would say bananas are generally bad for you.
If those people in the majority or in the heart condition situation are the majority, then all I have to do to kill people is to give them a quick jump start, and then they'll freak out, die, and I can take their wallet.
Well, if you give anybody a jump start from a car, they'll probably die, because that's like a lot of voltage or whatever. But anyway,
both.
This one is the one that actually fucking freaks me out a lot.
Fucking freaks you out.
If you haven't seen The House is October Built, go watch that movie because it's really freaky. But also, it's the number three is if you die, nobody will notice because everything in the haunted house is like already kind of designed to do that.
Right.
So there's three stories of people in a haunted house is actually they all accidentally almost hung themselves or did hang themselves. So one was a 17-year-old boy who accidentally hanged himself. They found his body in the gallows in, like a tractor one. So, like, there's a tractor one going through a field.
I've been to them. Been to one of them.
He was supposed to have a noose around his neck, but not a tight noose, but it tightened somehow. And he was hanging there and struggling, or not struggling. I think he was just hanging there. And the tractor driver became concerned after, the second or third time he drove by, and the guy wasn't moving. And then it turned out he was dead. Like,
wow.
Yeah. Like, just fucking, like, died.
I mean, that's why you don't put nooses around your neck, I suppose. Yeah, right? Boys and girls.
This next one was one where, like, he probably could have prevented it. A 14-year-old Caleb Reb also accidentally died. He was working at a coffin, and he switched back to something where a skeleton was hanging from a noose, but he wanted to make the station as scary as possible, so he put himself in the noose, and then something happened where, like, the branch that was holding the noose snapped up, and it actually, like, killed him. Like, it tightened the rope to a fatal degree. So it wasn't actually hanging. It was probably more that he broke his neck or choked or something.
Well, hanging usually is a neck break if you do it right.
Yeah, and that's what I'm thinking is like the branch pulled up fast enough that it just like either dislocated or...
Or it
like
could have tightened. If it's a proper noose, it tightens and then you choke.
That's a good point. They tried to resuscitate him because they saw it was happening, but it was too late. And the last one, and these all happened within the last 20 years. So one was 1990. So within the last 30 years. And these are just the ones that people figured out. Too spooky.
Spooky.
17-year-old Jessica Rue accidentally hung herself as part of a display. Luckily, she survived. She was stationed in a room by herself with a bathtub and a hanging noose. Somehow, she became tangled in the noose and it tightened around her neck. The exact details remain a mystery. But she spent the following 3 days in a coma and suffered memory loss. So, you know, that's actually an important thing. If you're going to kill yourself by hanging yourself...
Do it right.
I don't want to tell you that you should kill yourself, but...
Don't kill yourself.
But... Do it. Like, commit. You will get way too fucked up from half killing yourself, I know from my personal experience. Not me, but anyway.
I think we all know.
There's a lot of things that will fuck you up. Like, having no oxygen go to your brain for, like, at least, 8 minutes or something even lower than that can just totally mess you up the rest of your life. Like, oxygen deprivation and ODing on pills can fuck your kidneys and liver up, and that makes you really bad. So, you know, like, don't kill yourself, but if you're going to do it, don't. Like, not do it. Don't halfway. Because, like, you're just going to end up in a worse spot than you were, and your life's going to suck even more.
Yeah. So don't.
I'm not going to say Sit Sucks advice on suicide, because that's a really terrible
thing.
We
really shouldn't have an opinion on suicide, except don't do it.
Yeah. Don't do it.
Don't do it.
That's what we said the first time. Don't do it.
Don't do it. Teenage suicide, don't do it.
Haunted houses became a pop icon because of Disney. This is maybe one that answered your thing. A lot of professional haunters will point to one thing, that's Disney's Haunted Mansion. It's the start of the haunted attraction industry, says Laura Morton from A Trick or Treat, History of Halloween. It's apparently a book or something.
Huh.
Can be tracked back to 19th century London, and the haunted house is launched into the iconic feature that it today is the opening of Disney's haunted attractions. Oh, I'm sorry. Halloween feature is that it is today by the opening. Oh, okay. So, like, they replicated the idea that, hey. Oh, he's just waving at you.
Yeah.
All right. So, there was something called Madame Tussauds macabre wax figures.
Madame Tussauds figures.
That was like a Gory Life Theater production in 1915.
Yep. Still
and then
there.
That was during the Great Depression. So, like, it was a way to keep youth out of troubles, is what people are saying. And it saw instant success, reporting like 80,000 visitors in a single day after opening. And then, you know, it just went up from there. So, I guess people really liked it because of.
Still there.
Yeah. And it's the last one, number one. This isn't a little known fact, but I think if you have any kind of smarts in your head at all.
I don't.
A haunted house success is determined by science. So, it's all about psychology and stuff.
Science.
Designer of the basement, Margaret Keir, wanted to craft a scary experience, but one that was not going to trigger any traumas. For this, she needed to keep in mind two main paths of sensory data. There's like a high road and a low road. The low road carries sensory data to the hypothalamus, region of the brain that triggers your fight or flight reaction. So, like, you get hit with fear, and you fight or flight, right? And then the sensory data is carried through the longer high road to the hippocampus, which is involved in long-term memory, and part of the brain that draws those memories to provide context for what you're seeing. Triggering both of these parts is the greatest key to success and satisfying experience, because if you trigger the first signal, it but you also reinforce that, no, it's not actually going to eat you, you don't, like, become traumatized. Because you have to balance these things of, like, blah, and then, like, it doesn't actually eat you. Or, like, you can keep walking, or I think is the idea.
I was thinking, is that, like, spook factor coupled with, like, creep factor?
Well, yeah, so, like, creepy things can stick with you longer, I would think. Mm. Like, because a creepy thing can build.
Right. Now, one of the things I wanted to know, and it sounds like we're not going to get to in this article because it's done, but was there are several pitches. I think there's one particular one. I should get Corwin to...
The brown note. Yeah.
No.
The one where you poop.
I should get Corwin to give me a sample. Maybe I'll play it.
If I can play the brown note.
Oh. I'm going to play this other note. And if I can find it, you'll hear it now. And then maybe I'll continue as I'm talking, or I'll do something weird with it. I don't know. But if it's possible to play it through the headphones, and I'll do some research. Maybe, or I won't. And so you might be hearing nothing right now. You might be hearing this. But there's a pitch that is audible to most people, but just on the edge. And so it tends to make you uncomfortable.
Because your mind's registering sound.
Yeah, there's a sound, but you can't hear it. But it happens to correlate to some, like, sympathetic wavelength. So it makes you, like, vaguely uncomfortable, and you can't put your finger on why. Apparently people have used it in some live theater productions, or put it under other songs or sounds to make you uncomfortable. And you can just gradually make it louder and louder and louder until you're just, like, very uncomfortable and you can't figure out why. And so if you're watching a play or something, you'll attribute your discomfort to the play you're watching.
There's actually the podcast of Black Tapes talks about that. I think they make it into like an actual thing, but this one is more like these guys put it underneath this music, so every time you listen to the music you like die in 5 days. But it's the same idea where, like, like there's some kind of underlying sound in the music that you can't really hear, but it's still there.
And this isn't scary. An actual thing.
But no,
I think it is actually something that he's used.
The Black Tapes is it's taking it to another level, but you're talking about
a real thing.
But yeah, so that was a listicle for this week. It wasn't too bad. I like that.
This is Kylie to Bagel.
Yeah, Kylie to Bagel,
which is our new podcast name.
Oh, List First. I'm sorry, and we'll put the link there for you guys.
Hopefully, Kyle sends me the link.
I will. I'm going to do it right now.
If you do it right now, I will lose it.
What do you want me to do?
I don't know. Save it. So when I ask
I'm
you,
put it in a keep.
Okay. So when I ask you in like 6 to 8 weeks when I get around to doing this,
so,
you send me the keep link with a dick butt picture?
Yeah, it's not going to have a dick butt. It's going to have my dick in my butt photoshopped into dick butt.
Dude, I don't want to see that.
You can,
but
it's on the edge.
But I kind of do.
You can't unsee it now. All right, well, thanks for listening, and, you know, hope, like, comment, subscribe, do your thing.
And looks like we recorded this one, so.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Far up, 29 minutes.
That was great.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks for not, you know,
fuck
stopping mid-podcast.